to share with you what just happened in the Supreme Court. Interesting case affecting all of us. And we go back to Citizens United about 10 years ago. And this is the court case that allowed corporations, PACs, political action committee, to donate unlimited amounts of money to political campaigns. Before that, the money was very limited to each campaign. This is for federal elections. And what Citizens United said was, as long as whatever outside committee, corporation, et cetera, was not completely connected to the campaign, unlimited amounts of money, which is why you see these commercials saying no candidate or no candidate's organization is in any way connected. That's why, because of Citizens United. All right. So part of the law has to do with paying back the money that is loaned to the campaign by the candidate himself or herself. And the wealthy people give their own campaigns money, and a lot of it. You know, when you have these ultra-rich candidates, they literally write checks. Donald Trump being one of them. The last 11 days of the campaign, he wrote a check for $30 million and either gave it or loaned it to the campaign. I think he loaned it. And so you have these very wealthy people that are just giving money. So here's the rule. You can pay back that money from campaign funds. The candidate can receive back that money that was loaned from campaign funds as long as the money was given to the campaign or loaned to the campaign by the candidate before the election. After the election, the candidate was only allowed to pay himself back up to $250,000. By the way, they can make some good money on that. $250,000. One candidate charged 18%, loaned the campaign money, and paid herself back at 18% interest. Not bad. But you were limited to $250,000. Ted Cruz created a case to attack that. He's been attacking that law forever. And the Supreme Court just sided with him, saying you can kiss that $250,000 gone. Now a candidate can loan his campaign or her campaign as much money and then have it repaid, even with interest, by campaign donations. So here's the bottom line. You have a candidate who wins and now is owed $1 million by the campaign. Well, that candidate can go out and raise funds to pay himself or herself back. And the, of course, the criticism is, you know what? Who's not going to pay it back? What organization is not going to give it back to someone who is in office? So you have a lobbyist, you have a corporation say, hey, I'll pay back the $1 million or I'll fund that $1 million to pay you back. After the win, well, the argument is, look at the influence that payback money can be. Look at the influence that it can garner. It's a sitting elected official who has accepted money to pay himself back from the campaign with money that is given by donors after the election. And that is the case that the Supreme Court just sided with Ted Cruz. It actually, that law, which said only $250,000 to be paid back, was actually an anti-bribery law because of the fear that corporations, individuals would simply have too much influence with an elected official. I mean, think about that. He's not running for office. This isn't a campaign to win. This is money that is solicited to pay himself back. And let's say I win and I go to Acme Corporation and say, tell you what, campaign owes me $1 million. How about you kicking in after the election? That was the fear. That was the point of the law before the court, Supreme Court, shut it down. So it's unlimited now. You can see a billionaire loaning his or her campaign, or a millionaire X number of dollars. And then afterwards, getting it back with interest by donors, which heretofore was illegal. You know, figure that one out for sure. Oh, Jennifer will like this one. I just went back to the break room, and they're on the table. Sometimes you have people that leave, you know, boxes of stuff and Fritos and that, and they're just hanging around. So there are a few cans. Someone left Mountain Dew Flamin' Hot.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine?
No.
Yeah, go back there and you too can grab cans of that stuff because no one is touching it.
Is that like Flamin' Hot Cheetos in a drink?
Yeah. Mountain Dew.
No. And for the record, I have not had Mountain Dew since January.
I'm telling
you. For the record.
You know, that's like mackerel-flavored Mountain Dew. I mean.
That almost sounds better. Mackerel-flavored almost sounds better than that. And now I feel like I need to taste it.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. All right. A little bit of geopolitics that's going on. We got to talk about Ukraine. At least I have to because of the interest that's going on. And it's changing certainly Russia, Eastern Europe, Western Europe, completely. The entire, actually, world of East versus West, because of this Ukraine invasion, has been turned on its head. So the latest is Sweden and Finland have formally asked to join NATO. Now, a little bit about Sweden, a little bit of history. You know how long Sweden has been neutral? Non-aligned, they won't touch anybody. 200 years, Sweden has been neutral. And now they're saying, we're no longer neutral. We're formally asking to join NATO. And NATO is saying with open arms, come on in. Come on down. And Turkey is sort of equivocating, but it'll cave. 30 members of NATO, all 30 have to allow a country to join. And Turkey's the only one that's sort of up in the air. But everybody is convinced. Secretary General of the UN and, the United States government saying they'll come aboard. And so what does that mean? Well, let's look what Putin did. Here comes the invasion of Ukraine for a bunch of reasons. One of them being the fear of the expansion of NATO. Because the Soviet Union's sphere of influence completely disappeared after the wall fell down. And now you had countries that were either allied, controlled, owned by Russia, have gone the other side. They now have joined the West. And 30 countries are now part of NATO, including the ones that are encircling the Soviet Union. Finland has an 800-mile border with the Soviet Union, and it has gone from strictly neutral now to joining NATO, and NATO is there just to defend against Soviet invasion of Europe. That's it. There's no other reason that NATO is in existence. It started after World War II. The Cold War kicked in. Everybody was frightened of the Soviet invasion. This is Joseph Stalin who controlled it. Stalin was completely nuts, and so NATO is formed. Not as an offensive group of nations, but truly a defensive group. And, of course, you've heard of Article 5. You attack one country, you've attacked all the countries. And this is where Russia is spinning, because Putin attacks Ukraine because of it wants to stop the expansion of NATO. Ukraine asked to join NATO also. NATO wouldn't let Ukraine join. Why? Because it didn't want to piss off Putin. Literally, the West and NATO were frightened. They just let it happen, a lot like the Western world did with Hitler. Oh, no, it's total appeasement. Oh, maybe if we don't do anything, he'll stop. Oh, let's not shake the boat. Well, that's changed. The invasion of Ukraine changed it all. So Putin thinks, number one, that he's going to be able to either annex or completely control Ukraine, put in a puppet government, and therefore have one of now a country he controls as a barrier against the West and against NATO. That didn't happen at all. He did this also to at least destabilize NATO. He figures, if I'm going to go in and I'm not going into a NATO country, no one's going to do anything, and it's going to make NATO weaker. Because here is another attack where no one does anything, much like in 2014 when Crimea, which was part of Ukraine, was annexed. No one did a thing. Okay, just let it happen. He thought the same thing was going to happen. Okay, just let it happen. Boy, did he guess wrong on that one. And so instead of destabilizing NATO, what he did was strengthen NATO. And now you have a country that is literally a rogue country with a rogue leader, Vladimir Putin, against the entire Western world. And we're paying for it because look at the gas prices. Just look at how crazy the gas prices are. As a matter of fact, at 9 o'clock, right after the news, I'm going to do a story on how our $6 gas prices could spread nationwide, and it's going to get worse for us. And we're affected the least. It's Europe. I can't even imagine what gasoline costs in Europe. I have to look that up. $10 a gallon, $11 a gallon. I mean, it is insane. And that's all because of the war in Ukraine. I mean, it is hurting all of us. The price of grain has gone crazy. I mean, this has really affected the entire world. And it's one of the reasons our prices have gone through the roof. Not the only reason, but it is only one of the reasons. The other thing that's going on in Europe, and the lifeline for Russia was the selling the oil and the gas. That is the majority of their revenues. You now have the West, which comprises virtually all the countries in the Balkans and Europe, now saying instead of buying Russian oil and gas, which we have to buy to stay alive, we're now making a move to disassociate ourselves. Let's figure out a way that we can replace Russian oil and gas. And it's not just a country doing that. It is the entire Western alliance working together to figure out a way to cut off Russian oil and gas. By the way, if that's successful, Russia's economy absolutely tanks. They go into not just a recession, they go into a full-blown major depression. And does Putin still keep his power? Probably, because much like North Korea, where the information that is given to the people of North Korea is strictly limited and controlled by Kim Jong-un, the government, Putin is going the same way. Not to the same extent, not as successfully, because obviously North Korea is a different country, different world over there, and the power is very different. But for the most part, Russians are only given one side. There are no two sides. And if you look at surveys around Russia, the vast majority are backing Putin, believe that Ukraine actually attacked Russia, that Ukraine, the government is full of Nazis, and Russian-speaking people in Ukraine are being subjected to Nazi tactics. And people are dying because of that. And Ukrainians are killing Russians. They're killing each other. All the bodies that are found around Ukraine, they were all put there by Ukrainians as simply a show. They're fakes. They're actors. There's makeup being involved. No civilian targets because the Russians don't see that. Certainly not on state-controlled television. They believe it's all true. So the big story now, Finland and Sweden. Now allies in NATO. Boy, that spins Putin. That's the latest. Boy, did it all backfire for Putin, for sure.
Handle on the news. Late edition.
Handle on the news.
And now, here's Bill Handle.
KFI AM 640. Bill Handle here in the morning crew, Wednesday, May 18th. And let's do it. We have a lot of stories to cover. And Handle on the News, late edition, brought to you by DirectBuyers.com, the hassle-free way to sell your home at a fair price in 10 days or fewer or less. I've yet to figure that out.
Yes, you figured it out a long time ago.
DirectBuyers.com. Let's do it. Wayne and Jennifer and me, lead story. Well, the story broke this morning. Jen caught it as soon as it came out. One of the police officers that were caught up in the killing of George Floyd. Now, Thomas Lane was not obviously the person who actually did the murder. That was Derek Chauvin. He got 22 years. But he was charged with a bunch of counts, and he pleaded guilty to manslaughter, aiding and abetting. And he'd already been convicted on federal counts of violating the civil rights of George Floyd. And the state is recommending 3 years below the state sentencing guidelines. So this thing is coming. The other two cops, I think, are still awaiting trial on the state charges.
Does this have any impact then on them going forward, the other two cops?
No. No. But Wayne, do you think they're going to plead out?
Or they well, go... if they're offered something similar, they will take it. Because this is what happens here is then this is nothing. They're looking at way more time on the federal charges. The prosecutors in the state case are saying we'll recommend a relatively low sentence, and we will recommend that you serve all your time in federal custody.
Go. Right, which is a real benefit to them, because if you look at the difference between the state custody and federal custody. I mean, it's all the difference. You know, for example, the food is not as, it's not overcooked in federal prison as it is in state. Also, I don't care where you go to prison. Being a cop and going to prison is not good news. Effectively, you're in solitary for the entire prison sentence. They have to keep you in protective custody. And I don't know, do they have a ward? For those prisoners, I guess
they
so.
They have administrative segregation units for high risk inmates, and a former police officer would definitely qualify.
Yeah, being in the general population, a former police officer would last about 35 seconds, I would think.
All right, another story that broke early this morning. A 21-year-old soldier from Russia has pleaded guilty to killing a 62-year-old man. And we're getting more on the story now because we heard that he had shot the man in the head through an open car window while the man was just riding his bike down the street. Turns out that this soldier was among a group of Russian soldiers that had left Ukrainian forces on February 28th. And the Russian allegedly fired at a private car and took a vehicle and then drove to a village about 200 miles east of Kyiv. But on the way, the prosecutor said that the Russian soldier saw this man walking on the sidewalk and talking on his phone, and that this 21-year-old soldier decided to kill the guy so that he couldn't report them to officials with the Ukrainian military.
Are you going to see a lot of that? Oh, are you going to see war crimes being brought forward to so many Russian soldiers? And then the question is, how far up are the charges going to be brought in the sense of lieutenants, captains? I mean, theoretically, you could bring it all the way up to the president. I mean, Putin could be charged. I mean, that is not a crazy concept. Of course, it'll never happen. But I think legally there would be a basis for charging him.
Well, a mom is in big trouble with the law after her second grade son brought her gun to school. But wait, there's more. It was in a backpack and somehow accidentally went off in the backpack. A bullet came out, ricocheted, grazed the abdomen of a seven-year-old.
Yeah, mom's in trouble. And thank goodness it was only grazing a seven-year-old. Can you imagine if the seven-year-old had been killed? Man. I mean, just horrible.
All right. This next story actually happened 30 years ago. So it was a story about a woman who went to a costume store and frantically wanted a costume for a clown. And, you know, we're talking the red nose, the shoes, the whole nine yards. Then she is accused, Sheila Keen Warren is accused of killing her then lover's wife more than 30 years ago. She walks to the door with a carnation, bouquet of carnations. The woman opens the door. She shoots her and kills her. It's very Joey Buttafuoco, Amy. What was that story? Long Island. Joey Buttafuoco, Amy. She walks to the door. Kills the
Amy
wife.
Amy Fisher. That
Thank
was
you.
It.
That's what this reminds me of. But here's the deal. Later, this woman, Sheila Keen Warren, or Sheila Keen at the time, ends up marrying the lover, Michael Warren, whose wife she allegedly killed in the clown costume. So anyway, they're having trouble. They've had to delay this trial again because they're having trouble finding witnesses in the case because it happened 30 years ago.
You know what? I want to make a point here. I am just tired of stories where women dress as clowns, marry the ex-lover, and shoot them. Come on. Let's keep these to a minimum, please.
It's just getting boring, right? It's the same old story.
Yeah.
Same old plot line.
Yeah.
And the circus is back. Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus is bringing back their greatest show on earth. It's going to be quite different from what you remember. There will be no animals. There was a big news story when they got rid of the elephants. They said, we're not going to use elephants anymore. We're not going to have any animals at all because they say people do not want to see animals in circuses anymore. It's too sad because it's so cruel. But also, they say people don't want to see clowns anymore, so there won't be any wacky clowns in the circus.
It's basically Cirque du Soleil.
It'll be Cirque du Soleil without the narratives, you know, the kind of weird storytelling.
Right. Yeah, and the music.
But it is.
Be
it's going to be daredevil acts of daring do.
And you've got contortionists. That's basically who's going to be. Trapeze. Where everybody just hopes that someone falls and
shoot a guy out of a cannon.
That's what people do. That's what people
do. You do not go to it like a NASCAR race where you hope there's a crash. You don't hope somebody falls off the thing.
I don't do NASCAR, but I should. Hey, got a personal story real quick about the Ringling Brothers Circus. Kenneth Feld, who owns it with, I think, his sister, his dad bought the circus. And his dad was, and I think before he bought it, was an impresario. He was a producer of the early rock groups. And the rock and the when Ritchie Valens and Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper died, Kenneth Feld's dad was actually the promoter of that circuit. And Kenneth Feld, as a kid, told the story. This was during an interview that I had with him. Told the story of he comes down the stairs and his dad was absolutely gray-faced. And he turned to Kenneth and said, Buddy and Ritchie just died in a plane crash. And he was there at that moment when the when his dad got the news.
Wow.
Fascinating story. Just a sidebar story that I thought I'd share with you, having absolutely nothing to do with anything. Okay.
But let's finish with something about it. Feld Entertainment also runs Disney on Ice, Sesame Street Live.
Yeah, they do
and,
these.
And Monster Jam, the Monster Truck Show.
Yeah,
Jam.
They do these.
I knew you would woo.
Yes.
I knew it.
I've been to the Monster Truck Show a time
I
or two.
I know you have.
Of course I have. I might have bought a hat.
Yeah. And when people get run over by these trucks in the audience, it's the Monster Mash.
Oh,
let's move on.
Oh. All right. This broke right before I started Wake Up Call at 5 this morning. So the U.S. Soccer Federation reached a deal to pay both the men's and women's teams equally. And this now makes it the American National Governing Board, the first in the sport to promise both sexes matching money. This is a lawsuit that's been going on for 6 years now. And the big part, I think, that the Federation previously had pointed out to their side of it was, look at how much money the men's team make versus how much money the women's team makes.
Yeah, the women's team totally just decimate the men's team in terms of revenue. And they're getting the same amount of money. Now, can you imagine the WNBA getting the same amount of money as the NBA players? And the argument is, come on, look at the amount of money that those guys generate. So, of course, it's not going to be the same. Well,
but
with women,
the women's team,
it was opposite.
Win.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's it. And so now they're going to make it so that they're sort of pooling, I guess, then the cup money for the two of them so that it's more equal.
Yeah, it shouldn't be equal. The women should do better because it's sheer economics. That's all. It's just money. And whoever generates the most gets paid the most. That's all. It's the golden rule. Whoever has the gold rules. Do I have that right?
It's a different golden rule than they taught me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but his is more real world.
It's
applicable.
True.
What am I going to? This has to do with story 8, Jen, because we're skipping story 7.
Are you
ready for my intro to set you up?
Yep, I'm ready.
Okay. What am I going to read on the toilet at the station anymore then?
All right. People may scrap its weekly print edition in order to try and cut costs.
What do you do at the supermarket when you're waiting in line?
It's going to be nothing but Weekly World News.
I know.
With a Martian on every front page.
Which might be more fun.
It is, but
honest.
How many times can you read about Elvis having a kid with some Martian and they live near Graceland? I mean, you're done with those stories. There's only so many of those.
But don't you guys think that in a lot of cases, when it comes to magazines, period, print magazines, and I still subscribe. I'm a big magazine. I'm old school. I tear out the recipes, the whole nine yards. So, but if you look at the magazines that I subscribe to, and I'm explaining this, Paula Deen, the Pioneer Woman's Southern Cooking or whatever it is. I know it tells a lot about me. But what I'm saying is these only come out like once a month or once every 4 months or something like that. The print editions just aren't there, period. So I feel like even though People isn't maybe on that same recipe, lifestyle-y kind of thing, they are in the social aspect of it, just sort of falling in line with the way that print is going, period.
Yeah, and again, it's just a question of numbers. How many people read? The cost of producing those magazines, digital, in terms of distribution, the cost of digital is zero.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, remember Burger King getting sued over deceptive ads because the meat looked too big? Well, Wendy's and McDonald's now also being sued. Same beef. Pictures don't represent what you actually get. Bill, it seems to me that, first of all, what if the problem is not that the real patties that you get are smaller than what is in the picture? What if the problem is that the real buns that you get are bigger?
Oh, that would be a real problem.
Then you're getting more food than is represented.
But it doesn't
matter. It's also this. You're not entitled to anything about appearance, right? If they say it's quarter pound of beef before cooking,
and that's a
you're entitled to it being a quarter pound of beef. It doesn't, the idea that in the ad, the patty goes all the way to the edge of the bun, but in reality, the bun extends beyond the patty is not relevant to whether you've been duped, is it?
Except there's a difference. No, it is not, because people understand that it's not the same. How many times have we seen packaging not actual size? Whenever you open a package of anything, the picture on the front looks far better than what the reality is. Everybody understands that, and I think the court would buy that. But to your point, your question, if you're talking about manufacturing a bigger bun so it looks like, let's say, a bigger burger, I think that is deceptive advertising, because that's done for the purpose of making, in a manufacturing way, making the product look bigger, better. It's a big difference between the actual burger and a picture on the sign. That's the way I take it. Anyway, they're going to lose.
All right.
Burger King's going to win on this one.
And I have a little fun for you guys to end this one out. It's your chance to live in a formerly full house. DJ Stephanie, Michelle, Danny, Joey, Uncle Jesse, and Comet all live there. Now you can too. The home in San Francisco that was made famous on the TV show Full House is up for sale. The Victorian was built in 1783. It's on the market for $37 million.
Yeah,
it was last sold in 2020 for $5.4 million, and according to Zillow, its market value is a little more than $6.5 million. But can you really put a price on living where the Tanner family used to live? Jennifer Jones Lee, KFI News. Of course, I did that as my story for today.
Yeah, I mean,
but
think about
really,
that.
Really, $37 million, and it's only Zillowing for $6.5 million.
Yeah, and sold 2 years ago, not even 18 months ago, for $5.5 million. Come on, you know, why not make it $1.3 billion?
I'd pay it if I had it.
Yeah, come on, you know,
live where Uncle Jesse used
I mean, that's
to live.
Just downright stupid. All right, coming up. How our $6 gas could go across the country. This is KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.